Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR produce programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism and cultural expression.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 96.1 FM in Lawrence. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Clear skies this evening with increasing clouds overnight tonight. Lows in the low 50s, highs in the lower 90s for tomorrow. It's 83 degrees in Lawrence. This is KPR.
From NPR News, this is All Things. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 89.9 Atchison. Tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, hosting comedian Louis Black in Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, the final tour, Saturday, November 2nd, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
Coming up on All Things Considered, former President Donald Trump visits Aurora, Colorado, a city he has falsely described as overrun by gang violence and crime. That story just ahead on All Things Considered. Also, the Kansas City Royals season's come to an end. They're out of the playoffs, but they did make the playoffs. So we'll hear from Greg Eklund on how the Royals managed this year's turnaround. That's coming up on All Things Considered here on Kansas Public Radio. Clear skies overnight tonight. Light winds from the southwest. We're expecting lows around 53 degrees tonight. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and another warm one with highs getting up to the low 90s. It's 83 degrees in Emporia, 84 in Manhattan, 85 degrees in Topeka. You're listening to All Things Considered on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Spider Art Constructors, offering decorative, stamped, and stained concrete patio work across the KPR listening area. More information about creating your backyard oasis is at spiderartconstructors.com.
Support for NPR comes from this.
That's on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us for All Things Considered tomorrow afternoon here on Kansas Public Radio from 4 to 5 o'clock. From the University of Kansas, we're KANU, Lawrence, 91.5, and KANH, Emporia, 89.7. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org. Coming up next year on KPR, it's the latest news from NPR and from the KPR newsroom. The time is 6:30.
Ron DeSantis. Two former Georgia election workers have reached an undisclosed settlement with the far-right website Gateway Pundit. Sam Greenglass of member station WABE reports they sued the outlet for falsely claiming they committed fraud during the 2020 election.
Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss served in Fulton County, which became a target of conspiracy theories amplified by former President Trump, his allies, and far-right media. The mother-daughter pair faced harassment so intense they said they had to leave their jobs and homes. According to court documents, their suit against Gateway Pundit has been settled. Lawyers for Freeman and Moss say the dispute has been resolved to the, quote, mutual satisfaction of the parties. Attorneys for Gateway Pundit owner Jim Hoff did not respond to an email. The outlet declared bankruptcy in April. Last year, Freeman and Moss won a defamation suit against former Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani. For NPR News, I'm Sam Greenglass in Atlanta.
Stocks traded higher today on Wall Street. The Dow was up 409 points. The Nasdaq rose 60. This is NPR News.
From the KPR Newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre. Good afternoon. A casino near Wichita has been evacuated after receiving a bomb threat this afternoon. KWCH reports the Kansas Star Casino was evacuated. Mulvane police are on site and investigating. This is a developing story. No further details were immediately available. The University of Kansas says an instructor who was caught on tape making inflammatory political remarks no longer works for KU. In the video, Philip Locock tells a class that some men won't vote for a woman because they don't think women are smart enough to be president. He then says those men could be lined up and shot. KU initially placed Locock on administrative leave, but KU Provost Barbara Bickelmeyer announced this afternoon that he had left the university. She did not specify whether he quit or was fired. Kansas and 19 other states, along with nursing home industry groups, are suing the federal government over a rule that would set new minimum staffing requirements in nursing homes. Natalie Krebs has this report.
The lawsuit claims a new minimum staffing rule proposed by the Biden administration exceeds the federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services authority and says it will drive many nursing homes out of business, leaving residents with nowhere to go. CMS finalized the rule in April. The Biden administration created the new standard in response to safety concerns in nursing homes stemming from inadequate staffing. The new standards are set to be phased in over the course of 3 years and will include exemptions for facilities in areas facing severe shortages of nurses. Natalie Krebs, Side Effects Public Media.
Kansans may have another chance tonight to view the Northern Lights. The Space Weather Prediction Center says a G4 or severe geomagnetic storm in space allowed many people in Kansas to see the Northern Lights last night. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says a G3 or strong storm watch remains in effect tonight. It drops to a G1 or minor watch tomorrow. This marks the second time this year the Northern Lights have been visible in parts of Kansas and Missouri. From the KPR Newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre.
Support for NPR comes from this station and
Franco Ordonez. Franco, thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
This is Kansas Public Radio. I'm Kay McIntyre. While the Kansas City Royals are out of the American League playoffs following last night's loss to the New York Yankees, it's still been a remarkable turnaround from last season when the team lost more than 100 games. Greg Eklund has this report.
When the Kansas City Royals took over in Waka, Bud Belliard, who works with infielders as a coach, told one of the other coaches in spring training what everyone has seen since. A team anchored by Bobby Witt Jr., a candidate for the Most Valuable Player Award this season.
We have the best shortstop in the Major League now. I think we work with the best shortstop in the Major League, maybe the best player in the Major League now.
Bobby Witt Jr. led the majors with 211 hits and was the American League batting champion with a .332 average. So what turned it around for the Royals this season? Most experts point to better pitching and an outstanding shortstop named Bobby Witt Jr., two ingredients that carried the Royals to the playoffs for the first time since winning the 2015 World Series. I'm Greg Eklund.
From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 89.9 Atchison. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the KU Natural History Museum, celebrating National Fossil Day, October 12th at the museum. Learn more about ongoing research and hands-on fossil activities for all ages at biodiversity.ku.edu.
We've got just 10 more minutes of All Things Considered. Coming up, we'll hear about the winner of the 2024 Nobel Peace Prize. It's a group of Japanese atomic bomb survivors being awarded for their work. That's just ahead. And then stay with us for KPR's Film Music Friday. It returns tonight with another of our occasional journeys into the music of film noir. We'll hear music from Sorry, Wrong Number, Double Indemnity, and more. Join Daryl Brogdon for Film Music Friday tonight from 7 to 9 on KPER 1. If you're joining us on KPER 2, it's Snap Judgment and stories that are bonkers, including a story about shearing sheep. Lots of sheep. That's on Snap Judgment at 7 on KPER 2.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Cherry Street Youth in Chanute, an after-school program for kindergarten through fifth grade students, welcoming volunteers for special projects, reading to the children, or to share a talent or skill. Details on how to get involved at cherrystreet.org.
From NPR News, this is All Things.
There's still a lot of work to do, and it won't be done before sundown. Still, she's relieved to have taken these first steps. Sarah Ventry, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Council for Interior Design Qualification, whose mission is to assess practitioner competency to create design solutions that safeguard public health, safety, and welfare. Learn more at cidq.org/NPR. From Fisher Investments, Fisher's dedicated team of specialists provide resources on investing, retirement income, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, which monitors safe driving habits to determine a personalized rate at progressive.com. Not available in California or from all agents. And from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
Morning Edition from NPR News asks the crucial questions of our time.
Who can make the best cookie, humans or AI?
Unpack the answers with us every weekday.
Join us for Morning Edition Monday morning from 5 to 9 o'clock. Your host Monday will be Stephen Skeep, Michelle Martin, and Jay Schaefer. Good evening. I'm Kay McIntyre. I've enjoyed being with you on this Friday afternoon, Friday evening. Filling in for Laura Lorson today. She'll be back on Monday for All Things Considered. I'll be back tomorrow morning from 7 to 10 o'clock for Weekend Edition Saturday here on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Have you been missing KPR's Film Music Friday? Yeah, me too. I've enjoyed the BBC Proms concerts the last couple weeks, but tonight, KPR's Film Music Friday returns. It's another of our occasional journeys into the music of film noir. We'll hear music from Please Murder Me, Double Indemnity, Sorry, Wrong Number, and much more. Join Daryl Brogdon for Film Music Friday right after the latest news from NPR on KPR. Increasing cloudiness tonight with lows around 53 degrees, winds from the south around 5 miles per hour. It's 78 degrees in Lawrence. This is KPR.
more after this newscast.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. At a Republicans for Harris event in Scottsdale, Arizona tonight, Kamala Harris told the group she'd go beyond her previously announced plan to have a Republican in her cabinet as part of a new initiative to foster bipartisanship. NPR's Daniel Kurtzleben has more.
Speaking to local Republicans, including Mesa Mayor John Giles, Harris announced a new campaign promise.
Part of what I intend to do, Mayor, and put some structure around is creating a bipartisan council of advisors who can then give feedback on policy as we go forward.
Harris has worked to build a broad ideological coalition, including even some conservative Republicans like former Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney. She also acknowledged the Mormons in the room, noting that her pastor spoke at the 100th birthday celebration of LDS President Russell Nelson. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News, Scottsdale.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump campaigned in Aurora, Colorado today, doubling down on his hardline immigration message in a city he's described as, quote, overrun by migrant crime.
They come from the dungeons, think of that, the dungeons of the third world, from prisons and jails and insane asylums and mental institutions. And she has had them resettled beautifully into your community to prey upon innocent American citizens. That's what they're doing.
This is both Republican and Democratic local leaders say it's not true. Trump also rallied in Reno, Nevada. Central Florida continues to pick up the pieces in the aftermath of Hurricane Milton. More than 2 million customers are still without power. Empresario Martinez Beltran is in St. Lucie County, where at least 6 people were killed by tornadoes before Milton's landfall.
The Spanish Lakes Country Club Village is a community for people 55 and up, and many of the homes here are manufactured, so they're not as resistant to strong winds. When the tornado ripped through this area, there was widespread destruction, and it killed at least 6 people, according to St. Lucie County Sheriff Keith Pearson.
So we have a lot of residents who left, and with the amount of destruction that left behind there, we know people live there, we just don't know where they are.
Pearson says recovery efforts in the area continue, and officials just want to be sure everyone is accounted for, including people who evacuated. Sergio Martinez Beltran, NPR News, St. Lucie County, Florida.
After an NPR and Kentucky Public Radio report on a trove of secret documents showing TikTok was acutely aware of the harm its app causes to teens but appeared unconcerned, 2 senators, Democrat Richard Blumenthal and Republican Marsha Blackburn, sent a letter to the app's CEO today demanding documents and all communications on the safety of minors on its platform. The senators say the new disclosures highlight the pervasive and alarming failures of TikTok and other online platforms to protect kids. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Workday. With AI at the core of its system, Workday is committed to delivering continuous innovation to prepare organizations for what's next. Workday, an enterprise platform for finance and HR rock stars. From the University of Kansas, your place to find NPR News is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 11th. Many of the ingredients for life here on Earth may have come from beyond Earth, delivered by asteroids or comets that hit our planet when it was young. And early analysis of samples of an ancient asteroid support that idea. A mission called OSIRIS-REx collected about 4 ounces of dust and pebbles from the surface of Bennu. The asteroid is about a third of a mile in diameter. Its orbit brings it close to Earth, making it a good target for study. OSIRIS-REx delivered the samples to Earth more than a year ago. Scores of scientists have been studying the samples. They've found that the samples contain lots of carbon, nitrogen, and organic compounds, key ingredients for life. The samples also contain certain types of phosphates, which are part of the chemistry of all life on our planet. Bennu's minerals formed in the presence of water. Their composition is a lot like the material at mid-ocean ridges on Earth, where molten rock is bubbling up to form new crust. Those minerals suggest that Bennu is a chip off a larger object, an ocean world. The parent body was blasted apart by a collision with another asteroid. Some of the debris stuck together to form Bennu. The early results are only a first step. Many more scientists around the world will study fragments of Bennu over the coming months and years. Their work will tell us more about the birth and evolution of this tiny world, as well as our own. You can find more about space missions in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's a Passacaglia for orchestra by Franz Waxman, drawn from his score for the movie Sorry, Wrong Number on KPR's Film Music Friday. This was a film based on a radio play written by Lucille Fletcher about an invalid who overhears two men plotting a murder, which she eventually discovers is her own. The movie was made in 1948 with Barbara Stanwyck and Burt Lancaster. Welcome to Film Music Friday, where we celebrate the music of the movies on KPR. I'm Darryl Brogdon, and tonight it's another of our occasional trips into the music of film noir, those highly stylized crime dramas characterized by cynical heroes, dramatic lighting, flashbacks, and complex storylines. In this hour, we'll hear Frederick Hollander's music for The Verdict, a thriller starring Sidney Greenstreet and Peter Lorre. But next is a film called The Unfaithful, which was an adaptation of Somerset Maugham's The Letter, made in 1947. Anne Sheridan plays a woman who stabs to death an intruder in her home. She claims not to know the man, but is there more to the story? Maugham's original story took place on a rubber plantation in Malaya, but for this version it was transplanted to Southern California. For the 1940 film version with Betty Davis, composer Max Steiner created a very exotic score. But for the remake, he delivered a much more urban musical setting. Here's Max Steiner's suite from The Unfaithful, 1947, on KPR.
Thank you.
Max Steiner's score for The Unfaithful, 1947, on KPR's Film Music Friday. The film's based on The Letter, a famous play and later a movie written by Somerset Maugham. However, for this adaptation, the screenwriters made many changes to the story, moving it from a rubber plantation in Malaya to Southern California. Still to come, we'll hear music by David Raxon for the classic film noir Laura from 1944. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com. Well, now here's something from a movie called The Verdict, made at Warner Brothers in 1946. A disgraced Scotland Yard inspector invents a perfect crime in order to embarrass his former superiors at the Yard. Music for the film is by Frederick Hollander, a German composer who wrote numerous songs for Marlene Dietrich and had written for the theater and cabaret. These had mostly been lighter fare, so Hollander jumped at the chance to do something darker. Here's the music for The Verdict on KPR and Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
Frederick Hollander's score for The Verdict, 1946, starring Sidney Greenstreet and Peter Lorre, the last of nine films co-starring the two, and here on Kansas Public Radio's Film Music Friday. Hollander was classically trained, but he spent most of his career writing music for the theater and later for movies. This is Film Music Friday, where tonight we are hearing more of the music of film noir. Coming up after the news, composer David Shire has a go at Private Eye Philip Marlowe in Farewell, My Lovely. Well, KPR's Big Band Christmas is coming back Saturday night, December 14th at Liberty Hall. The KC Jazz Orchestra will be back to serenade you with some big band jazz, holiday favorites, and more. Tickets for Big Band Christmas are on sale right now at Liberty Hall and at Ticketmaster.com. Get the scoop at KansasPublicRadio.org. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the University of Kansas Libraries, Kansas's largest library with more than 5.8 million items across multiple campus locations. Information on community resources and upcoming events is at lib.edu. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and online at kansaspublicradio.org. There's just a bit of David Raxon's score, in fact, the end title for Laura, 1944, one of the classics of film noir here on KPR. It's about a police detective who falls in love with the woman whose murder he's investigating. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and on tonight's Film Music Friday, we're hearing the music of film noir. And after the NPR news, we'll hear from films like Please Murder Me, Journey into Fear, and Double Indemnity. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com. And Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri customers since 1982, offering testing and solutions for mold, lead, and asbestos problems. More information at cromwellenvironmental.com. NPR News just ahead at 8:01, followed by the second half of Film Music Friday here on KPR stations. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Support for news on KPR comes from Maselli's, presenting Bongotini and a Night of Music, Cocktails, and Friends, Saturday, October 19th at 7:30 p.m. in the new Maselli's Lounge. Information and tickets available at Maselli'sOnline.com. The time is 8:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Cleanup continues in Florida from the aftermath of Hurricane Milton. Power is out to millions, but President Biden says crews from around the country and Canada are in the state helping.
With the dedication of 50,000 power line workers, 50,000 power line workers,
from 43 states and the country and Canada have stepped up and come down to help.
But those groups also helped to restore power already to 1 million Florida customers so far, but nearly 2 million are still without power. Hurricanes Helene and Milton inflicted enormous damage on communities from Florida to North Carolina, and that is expected to cost billions of dollars to repair. NPR's Alejandro Burundo reports a new analysis is suggesting that climate change upped those costs by more than 40%.
In a world where humans hadn't heated up the planet by burning fossil fuels, a storm like Hurricane Milton might have just been a Category 2 hurricane at landfall. Instead, it was a Category 3. That's what a team of scientists from Imperial College London found when they did a quick analysis of human impacts on the storm. Stronger storms mean more damage to houses, roads, and other infrastructure. Turning up the intensity of storms like Helene or Milton means dealing with the aftermath will cost more, too. Some initial estimates peg the damages from Helene alone at more than $200 billion. Alejandra Burunda, NPR News.
Boeing says it plans to lay off thousands of workers while machinists are still on strike. Casey Martin of member station KUOW in Seattle has more.
Kelly Ortberg told employees in a message that the business is in a difficult position. Over the coming months, he wrote, the company is planning to reduce the size of their total workforce by about 10%. That's roughly 17,000 jobs and will include executives, managers, and employees, he said. This weekend marks 1 month that more than 30,000 Boeing machinists have been on strike, calling for higher pay and more benefits. Contract talks between Boeing and the union broke down this week after 2 days of negotiations. For NPR News, I'm Casey Martin in Seattle.
Israeli airstrikes in Beirut last night hit an apartment building, killing at least 22 people, including children. More than 100 others were injured. Hezbollah says Israel was aiming for a top leader of the Iranian-backed militant group. Meanwhile, the UN's peacekeeping force in Lebanon says an Israeli tank hit an observation tower at its headquarters, injuring peacekeepers. UNIFIL says it's a grave violation of international humanitarian law. Wholesale prices were unchanged last month, another sign that inflation is returning something close to normal. The producer price index, which tracks inflation before it hits consumers, was unchanged from August to September after rising 0.2% the month before. Wall Street higher by the closing bell, the Dow up 409 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. From the University of Kansas, your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday is Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
That's David Shire's melancholy theme music for Farewell My Lovely, 1975, with Robert Mitchum as Private Eye Philip Marlowe. You're on KPR's Film Music Friday. You know, this is a terrific film, one of the best ever made, about Raymond Chandler's detective character, Philip Marlowe, and the score by David Shire is perfect for this film. On tonight's Film Music Friday, we're taking another look at the music of film noir, those dark, cynical, downbeat crime thrillers that began in the early 1940s and continue today. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Thanks for joining us. Still to come, a score by Alex North for an ill-advised remake of Eric Ambler's Journey into Fear, plus music from one of the great film noirs, Double Indemnity. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Liberty Hall and 1313 Mockingbird Lane as they present Bram Stoker's Dracula, showing at Liberty Hall from October 18th to 20th. Tickets available in the Liberty Hall box office or online at libertyhall.net. Now here's music from a 1956 film called Please Murder Me. That's a great film noir title. Raymond Burr is an attorney who gets his client, played by Angela Lansbury, acquitted from a murder charge, only to find out she really is the murderer. This is music by Albert Glasser on Kansas Public Radio. from Please Murder Me, 1956. That's music by Albert Glasser on KPR and Film Music Friday. Most of Glasser's work in films was on low-budget productions, and while Please Murder Me isn't exactly a big-budget affair, it is one excellent film noir. Glasser's score is highlighted by his use of the theremin, which was often relegated to science fiction films. Coming up, we'll hear from Miklos Rocha, a composer who did a number of film noir thrillers during his career. Stories of shocks and surprises, both good and bad. That's coming your way tomorrow morning on the next Moth Radio Hour, a birthday gift with unintended consequences, family secrets, and support from an unlikely fan base. The Moth Radio Hour, now at a new time, tomorrow morning at 11, right after Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, on all KPR stations. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, and online at kansaspublicradio.org. That's by Alex North, music for Journey into Fear, 1975, here on KPR. This was a remake of the 1943 film based on the novel by Eric Ambler. The original starred Joseph Cotten and Orson Welles in a tale about a British engineer dodging Nazi assassins in Turkey. The remake, sadly, is not up to the original at all, but at least it's got a memorable score by Oscar winner Alex North. It's all film noir on tonight's edition of Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon. So glad you could join us. Before this hour's up, we're going to hear from maybe the greatest of all film noir thrillers, Double Indemnity. That plus news from NPR is coming your way later this hour. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com. Now here's something by a composer whose abilities were particularly well matched to film noir. Miklos Rocha wrote scores for some memorable thrillers like Brute Force, The Killers, and Double Indemnity. Here's a bit of his music for The Strange Love of Martha Ivers, 1946, on Kansas Public Radio. On KPR, that's Miklos Rocha's music for The Strange Love of Martha Ivers, 1946. Starring Barbara Stanwyck, Van Heflin, and in his film debut, Kirk Douglas, in A Tale of a Long-Ago Murder. Van Heflin is an itinerant gambler who returns to his boyhood home and is reunited with his childhood friend Martha and her husband, who believes he knows the truth about the death of Martha's rich aunt years before. Miklos Rocha, I guess, could do. He wrote music for fantasy films like The Thief of Baghdad, historical epics like Ben-Hur, even the occasional Western, but his work in film noir is particularly rich. In 1944, Rocha provided the score for Double Indemnity, directed by Billy Wilder, a film that very well may be the quintessential film noir. Fred McMurray is Walter Neff, an insurance salesman who gets mixed up in a murder plot, masterminded by Phyllis Dietrichson, played by Barbara Stanwyck. The head of music at Paramount is said to have criticized the Rocha score for this film, and it's said he even asked Rocha why he hadn't written more attractive music. Rocha's response was classic. He said, "Billy Wilder's film is about ugly people doing vicious things to each other." And he stood by his score, which is one of the best ever created for a film. Here's some of the music for Double Indemnity on KPR's Film Music Friday. Thank you. from Double Indemnity, 1944. That's music by Miklos Rocha on KPR. His score was nominated for an Oscar the following year. This is Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Hope you enjoyed this excursion into the sordid world of film noir, and that you'll join us here next week for another evening of great movie music. In the meantime, you can listen to Film Music Friday on demand at kansaspublicradio.org. When you get there, just click on shows. If you use the KPR app, you'll find Film Music Friday among the on-demand offerings, which are available to stream right to your smartphone. And with the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speakers, you can stream KPR 1 or KPR 2 or individual shows like this one. To find out about all the ways you can listen to Film Music Friday, just visit kansaspublicradio.org. NPR News is just ahead at 9:01. It's followed by Jazz in the Night, all right here for you on Kansas Public Radio stations.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Alzo Slade was not very impressed with the vice presidential debate.
It was a throwback to the old school, not that because it was boring, it was just two white dudes.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm Peter Sagal. This week we talk about Kamala Harris's podcast blitz, and since she still won't come on our show, we have to settle for Monty Python's Eric Idle. Join us for the news quiz from NPR.
Hope you'll join us tomorrow morning at 10 for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR. Here on KPR. There's also a Sunday rebroadcast from noon to 1. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or just tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Coming up on 9 o'clock, the news is next at 9:01, and that's followed by Jazz in the Night. Become a KPR sponsor and your business can harness the trust and credibility of public radio. 82% of listeners take action because of an announcement heard on NPR. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org. News is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Two senators have written a letter to TikTok CEO demanding that the company hand over internal documents. This comes after Kentucky Public Radio and NPR's reporting found new evidence that the social media giant has disregarded the harms that may be caused by its app. NPR's Dara Kerr has more.
Senators Richard Blumenthal and Marsha Blackburn told TikTok CEO that the company must hand over documents and internal communications regarding the safety of minors on its platform. These documents are part of a lawsuit filed by Kentucky's Attorney General, alleging that TikTok was designed to be addictive and that kids are most vulnerable. Kentucky Public Radio discovered unredacted information in those documents. It revealed TikTok executives were aware of the app's potential harms to children. The senators, who are the authors of the Kids Online Safety Act, are giving TikTok 2 weeks to hand over those documents. Dara Kerr, NPR News.
Boeing says it will cut around 10% of its workforce, or around 17,000 employees, and will cut its production schedule. This as losses mount amid a machinist strike that's been going on for 5 weeks now. The aircraft maker says it will end production of its 767 freighter in 2027 and delay the rollout of the new 77X until 2026. It expects to report a loss in the third quarter. In a memo, the Embattled Company CEO Kelly Ortberg says the business is in a difficult position and faces many challenges. With less than a month to go to the presidential election, the candidates are on the campaign trail. Kamala Harris is wrapping up a two-day visit to Arizona today with a rally in Scottsdale. She campaigns in Greenville, South Carolina, Sunday. Donald Trump rallied in Aurora, Colorado today and Reno, Nevada. And with Election Day in November coming up soon,
The new survey shows abortion has suppressed inflation in the economy as the top election issue for younger women. NPR's Alyssa Nadworny has more.
Almost 40% of women voters under the age of 30 now say abortion is the most important issue, nearly doubling the share who said the same back in June. The data comes from a survey of more than 1,300 women voters by KFF. The health policy organization first talked to them in June when President Biden was running for re-election, then again in September after Kamala Harris became the Democrats' nominee. Inflation, including the rising cost of household expenses, continues to be the most important issue for all women voters. About half now say they trust Harris over former President Donald Trump, compared with 39% who feel Trump has the advantage.
NPR's Alyssa Nadworny reporting. Wall Street higher by the closing bell, with the Dow and the S&P 500 at a record, the Dow up 409 points. This is NPR. The medical charity Doctors Without Borders says it's been forced to stop treatment for 5,000 malnourished children in Sudan, including thousands in critical condition. The charity blamed the blockade on aid by both sides of the war between the Sudanese army and a paramilitary group. NPR's Emmanuel Akinwotu has more.
Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, has blamed both warring parties in Sudan for the blockade on Zamzam, a camp hosting about 450,000 refugees in the western region of Darfur. Both the army and the Rapid Support Forces, or RSF, which are a paramilitary group, have blocked deliveries of food, medicine, and other essential aid for months, MSF said. The charity is unable to replenish its stock, which was exhausted last month. MSF's 80-bed hospital there is the only operational medical facility in the camp, it said. 18 months of war in Sudan has killed up to 150,000 people and fueled the world's worst displacement crisis. Emmanuel Akinwotu, NPR News.
Fisher Price is recalling parts of more than 2 million infant swings across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico because of a serious suffocation risk following reports of 5 infant deaths. The Consumer Product Safety Commission warns that all models of Fisher-Price's Snugga swings should never be used for sleep or have bedding materials added. There were 5 reports of infant deaths when it was used for sleep. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Wallace Foundation, working to develop and share practices that can improve learning and enrichment for young people and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas and information at wallacefoundation.org.
Thank you.
The singer there, Bria Skoenberg on KPR, the trumpet player there, Bria Skoenberg on KPR. It's from her new album, Comes Love, the song from her new album, What It Means, very much grounded in the music of New Orleans, the musical sound of New Orleans, from Bria Skoenberg. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night on this Friday night. Made it through another week and glad you could join me. We're going to hear some great work from vibraphonist Milt Jackson back in 1958 playing a Benny Golson piece with Benny playing sax. And up next, a brand new one from pianist Bill Charlotte. The album's called And Met Again, recorded live at the Village Vanguard in New York City. Bill's trio has been playing together for 27 years. It's Bill at the piano, Peter Washington on bass, and drummer Kenny Washington. Here's a Dave Brubeck composition called In Your Own Sweet Way. Thank you. the applause at the Village Vanguard in New York City for the Bill Sharlop Trio here on KPR, the version of the Dave Brubeck composition, Your Own Sweet Way. Bill at the piano, bassist Peter Washington, drummer Kenny Washington, the new album on Blue.